So if you didn't get a bulletin, make sure you grab one in the, I think we have a few extra in the back. There are several things that begin this week. The small group that meets on Tuesday nights at the Robertsons will be resuming at 6:30, and then also the ladies' Bible study is starting back up on Wednesday at 6:30 at Sharon's house, and they are going to be studying the armor of God. By Priscilla Shire. And so that's just getting started this week. And there's some contact info if you want more information about either of those groups. There will be prayer this evening at 7 o'clock at the Robertsons. And then a couple specific dates to mark your calendar. Next Sunday, October 23rd, we'll be having a fellowship lunch right after church. It'll be a potluck. So just bring either a main dish or a side and a dessert, and then all the drinks and table service will be provided. So that'll be immediately following the service next week. And then ladies, there's another fellowship group starting up on, it's gonna meet monthly on the first Thursday. And so November 3rd will be the first one, it'll be at 7 o'clock. And for November, it will be meeting at the Broadway Coffee House, downtown Salem. And then I have one more announcement for you. Camber, you wanna come on up? We've got one more.
Hi. Last time I did a bake sale for the Mexican orphanage, and I would like to host another one, November 6th. And I think that maybe, since we did really good last year, and what if we did really even better this year? What if we got a little more money, because we did really good last year, and I think that if we have another bake sale, then we can raise more money. And I heard that we're getting a lot of new kids, and we're doing really good. So, yeah, it's going to be November 6th. So, yeah.
And those proceeds will go toward the orphanage, right? The orphanage in Mexico, in Rosarito, that we support. So Camber's going to be hosting a bake sale. We right after church, right? Right after church in the hallway. If you were here when we did one in the spring, lots of really yummy baked goods. So bring a little extra cash next. Let's see, it's November 6th. So I think that's 3 weeks from today. And get yourself a treat to take home after church. Thanks, Camber. All right, so this morning we have some special guest speakers. I'd like to introduce to you Nels Olson and Chris Haley, from the Salem House of Prayer. They're going to be speaking for us this morning. So welcome, guys.
Thank you. It's good to be here. So we are from the Salem House of Prayer. How many people have heard of the Salem House of Prayer? Awesome. That's good to know. We've been in the city for about 15 years. We originally started out of Jim Moore's garage. So just like Apple computers, right? And Microsoft. So good things start out of garages. So we started out of the garage. I've been a part of the House of Prayer for 13 years. And I'm one of the senior leaders there. And we have moved from Sunnyview, was one of the first places out of the garage, and we called it the Blue Carpet House. And then we moved to actually Kubler, to where CCPC is, if people know what that is. Actually, Chris works there, CCPC, which is a great place. And then we moved to the heart of the city, where you guys know where the Liberty Plaza is. There's the old Wells Fargo Bank with the big marble building. We moved into that building for a couple years. I'm going to give you a little bit of history. I always did the sets on Friday nights. I'd do the service on Friday nights, and then I'd do the 10 to 12 set. And at 10 o'clock, next door was, if people remember, Moon Baker's Bar. And it turned into the Ultra Six Lounge. It was actually, on the worldly side, it was one of the best places to dance in Salem. And there's some history behind that. But before that, actually, it was the Golden Pheasant Restaurant, for those who have been in Salem a long time. And so we've met a lot of retired politicians that told us a lot of decisions were made in Oregon out of the Golden Pheasant Restaurant over eating. And so at 10 o'clock on those Fridays, I would start to pray, and I've prayed for the youth in the area from 10 to 12 on Friday nights for 8 years, 9 years, consistently. And it was like a battle of light and dark, though, between the club. At 10 o'clock, they would turn on their bass so loud that it would shake our prayer house. So here I am trying to praise God, and the club next door is, you know, just going at it, you know. And it was 10 o'clock on the dot. If you ever have gone to the house of prayer, there's a stage, and they actually made that stage into like a big boom box. Downstairs in the basement, they had a closet where they had all these speakers, and then they had tons of amps that would power these speakers, and it would port the air up and then into the stage, and the stage would resonate all this bass. So literally through, you know, 8 inches of concrete, we could feel the bass from that club. And so anyways, I did what I knew how to do, and I just started to pray. I asked God for the club. I just got real bold, and I just said, Lord, I want it, you know. I want the youth. I want you to move. And so we just started praying, and after about a year, all of a sudden, the music stopped. And the owner had actually passed away in a car accident. It was not good. But from one day or 1 week to the next, it just stopped completely. After 2 or 3 months, the owners of the building came to us and said, hey, you guys are a nonprofit, and everything in this building has been abandoned. Do you want to have it all? So every laser light, every fog machine, everything that was used to worship, you know, in the worldly sense was given to us, you know, for the house of prayer, for God's kingdom. And so we gladly said yes. And then a couple months later, they said, you know what? We can't get anybody to occupy this building. Would you like to occupy this building? So guess what? We said yes. And so in the back of the club, we built a prayer room. And so that's where we are still there today. So just a testimony of prayer. On that block, you guys know where the bus station's at, right? The new bus station. On that block, if you have ever seen, it's on Shemeketa and what's the back street behind there? Is that High? Yeah. Yes. Shemeketa and High. So that's the back end of the corner. There's actually a plaque that says, this land was founded by missionaries in 1892 or whatever the date is. And it's literally the cornerstone plaque that was on the original courthouse of Salem. So literally the ground that the house of prayer is on, you know, I mean, there's a plaque that said this was founded by missionaries. Now, Salem has a destiny. And the destiny is that we are intimate with a God that loves us. And so so we're just excited to be here. Was that 5 minutes? He keeps me in line here. So
I do. That's what I do.
And so a little bit of history with Chris. So Chris and I, we went to Dallas together. I've known Chris for a long time. Ironically, divinely, our grandmas, I had a grandma that prayed. And how many people are here because of prayer? I had, you know, a praying parent, a praying grandma. My grandma prayed for me, and I am here because of my grandma's prayers. She altered the course of my life by laying down her life for me and her grandkids. And so did Chris's grandma. and our grandmas lived right next to each other in Greenway 2 on Lockerell Drive in Dallas, Oregon. And so I grew up with Chris thinking that he was going to go in the NFL playing football. You know, he'd be out there in the street, you know, throwing the football. And me, I was more of a rollerblade guy. So being from the 80s, my rollerblades were purple. So I was out there rollerblading. Chris always wanted to play football. And I was like, no, I'm good, man. And so it's funny. But his friends were my friends in high school. My friends were a year older. So that's the connection. We grew up together. And this summer, Chris spoke at Camp the Risen Sun. Wear my camp shirt today. For Chris, but he was a speaker, and I led worship, and God just really connected our hearts during that time. So I'm just honored to be here. He's asked over and over for us to come and just speak, and so we're so grateful to be here. Thank you for inviting us. And so we're gonna go ahead and start with reading some scripture out of James 1.
Yeah, let's jump into it. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to James 1. We're going to start in verse 2. So consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that this is the testing of your faith, and that produces endurance and patience. And let endurance and patience have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect, complete, and lacking in nothing. But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like a surfer of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought to not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded and unstable in all of his ways. Hey, Nels, would you go ahead and pray for us real quick?
Yeah. Jesus, thank you for this morning, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your love, God, and what you've done for us, Jesus. And we just ask that you would cause your living word, God, to be stirred up on the inside of us, Lord. Lord, we ask for your perspective, God. We ask for your thoughts, God, on your word this morning. Lord, we want to live in a lifestyle, God, that we're loving you and loving people. God, so we just ask right now, Lord, if there's anything that hinders love, if there's any mindset that you want to change in us, Lord, we just say, here we are. God, we just open ourselves up to you, Lord. Come and have your way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Good morning. How you guys doing? Good morning. Yeah? So I'm the type of person I like a little bit of interaction. I like to interact with everyone that's here. So bear with me. It might be a little weird. I apologize. I'm a little out of the box sometimes. So our outlook determines our outcome. Our outlook determines our outcome. Will you just look at the person next to you and you just tell them, your outlook determines your outcome.
Your outlook determines your outcome.
Is that what I said? I don't know what I said. Cool. Anyways, so we're going to jump right into this. So consider it all joy, my brothers, when you encounter various trials, knowing that this is the testing of your faith and it produces endurance and patience. Wow. I mean, right out of the gate, James is saying, consider your trials joy. I don't know about you, but I look at it and I'm like, man, if Nels was to come up to me and be like, hey, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and cut off your left hand. And you know, this is just a trial. Feel free, like you're gonna just go through it, have joy. I would be very angry.
Yeah.
I don't think I would consider that joy. I'm like, I really like my left hand. I kind of need it to like cut things and to do my daily routine and work with the youth that I work with. Wow, this is one of the, I consider this one of the most outrageous statements in the New Testament. And outrageous being, like, what are you saying here? Like, how hard, I mean, honestly, the trials that you go through, like, I mean, we're all going through trials, right? I mean, we look at this, James didn't say, if trials come. James said, when they do come, right? Yeah. So it doesn't matter where you are, it doesn't matter what's going on, you're always gonna encounter a trial. But what's your perspective? Are we only looking at it through this distracted lens that's saying, oh, well, this is really big and I can't handle this. I don't know how to move forward. Or is it saying, okay, I see this. I have no idea what God's doing. This hurts, but okay. Your will, your way, God. What does that look like for us with where we're at in life?
Yeah, I think that, you know, like for me, you know, we've just been challenging, you know, you go to work, or you go throughout your day, and someone says, "How was your day?" And, you know, and in my mindset that I'm trying to change is how my customers have treated me at my work. You know, I'll say, "It was a good day. I didn't get yelled at today by a customer." Right? I mean, that's practical, right? That's real. And or you know, but. That kind of mindset is allowing the circumstances or the world to determine how your day is gonna go. You know what? And when I read the word, and when James is talking here, you know, he says to count it pure joy when we go through those things. You know, so for me, this is a huge. You know, it's easy for us to read this. You know, it's easy for us to say, yeah, let's just you know, the whole thing, faking it till we make it. I don't want to fake it till I make it. Amen. I think that God has real solutions and his emotions for every trial that I go through. And his burden is easy and light, right? So I get to partner with him as I go through it. And it's And the comforting thing is, and the pure joy is that he's with me. Can you imagine going through those stuff without him? Can you imagine going through, no, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, right? So when we have his yoke and his perspective, then we can go through those things. Chris and I always talk about there's two trees in life. There's the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and there's the tree of life, right? And every day, depending on what day it is, you can have apples thrown at you. No, I'm a farm boy. I was raised on a farm. And we ate a lot of apples. A lot of apples. And I learned at certain points what was too much through certain things. And anyways, the world can throw the bad apples at you, right? And here is the thing that the Lord's really trying to teach us. It's as those apples are thrown at us, we need to put them in their right place, okay? Because if you hold on to the world's apples long enough, guess what? You're going to eat them. And they're going to start to tell you who you are. They're going to start to, your identity will be, because, well, can't be those circumstances or those situations that you're faced in if you don't put them in the right place and where they need to go. You know, the word says to take every thought captive. Paul says that we need to pray without ceasing. And when Paul talks about praying without ceasing, that's a lifestyle that we live that's constantly connected with God. It's not fold your hands and shut your eyes and pray with your mouth. It's constant communion with the Father. So it's taking those apples that are thrown at us and and putting them in their right place. And if you don't put them in their right place, what happens is you're going to eat them. And you're going to reap that thing. Then you're going to have a bad day. Because that thing that was thrown at you is not yours to hold. It's not even a part of who you are. Because you're divine. Because you are who he says that you are. Amen? Okay, I'm done for a second.
Our outlook determines our outcome. So also, too, I want to make this point that your emotions are valid, right? So when you go through these trials, when you go through these things, what you feel, that is completely 100% valid. But the thing is, we can't stay there.
That's right.
So James says, consider. So what does consider mean? Consider means to take stock of or to carefully look at. So when you are facing a trial, when I'm facing a trial, do I sit there and say, am I going to look at this? Or am I just going to be like, man, this sucks. I don't know what I'm going to do. I give up. No, we can't. And I think, too, there's an aspect of this where it says joy, and we look at joy, and sometimes we say joy and happiness are the same thing. But they're not. Because happiness is circumstantial. Happiness says, hey, I have my friends. I invite my friends over to watch the Blazer game. It's going to be awesome. I'm so happy they're here. I'm happy the Blazers are playing. And then the Blazers lose. And then I'm like, I'm not happy anymore. That's not joy. Joy is supernatural delight from God. That in any circumstance, we can go to him, we can receive what he has, and move out of that place. That's what joy is. So that's what James is really trying to push across here, that it's our attitude and our response. So when those trials come your way, what does your attitude look like? And how are you going to respond to those? And I can't say that I've done it perfectly every time. This is, I mean, for Nels and I both, this is something that we're still going through. You know, it is hard to
help me, Jesus.
Things. Yeah, right. Amen. It is hard to go through the things and the trials that come up. I know for me, this past 6 months, it's been a lot of my trials have been going back through my childhood and reliving and processing through the things that I didn't want to process through, and those hurt. But ultimately, realizing that I can take joy in those things. Because one, God has brought me out of them.
Amen.
And two, God is helping me to help other people. Amen. Bring them out of their stuff and show them who he says they are. So that leads us into verse 4, which out of this scripture, this is probably my second favorite verse, because, and let endurance and patience have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. Now, I apologize if this makes anyone angry. I don't mean to, but there's this aspect right here, this, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. That's interesting, right? The world says, oh, you're not perfect, right? And we even say that as believers, like, oh, we're not perfect. I have to disagree. Now hear me when I say this. Perfect, not in what you do, but in who you are.
Amen.
Because you were loved by the perfect Father. So you can mess up as many times as you want, but in God's eyes, you're perfect, right? And you can look at Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10 says that you are a masterpiece. Now, I don't know about you, but masterpieces aren't created flawed. I mean, a masterpiece is not created flawed. Genesis 2:1, God created the heavens and the earth and everything was complete. Interesting. So the lack is the state of being without. So in this, it's saying, if you don't have, ask. Because God will give it to you, right? It's so easy for us to say, well, I'm not good enough. And these trials are so hard and I can't go any further. Here's the great news is you don't have to do it by yourself. There's grace.
Amen.
It's grace.
Yeah, I think sometimes, you know, we minister to the homeless quite a bit. There was a guy that every fourth Sunday we feed, you know, usually 200 to 250. We bring them into our cafe. We have a commercial kitchen. We actually sit them down and, like, go up to them as waiters, take their order, and then come back and give them food. It's pretty awesome. And we use that as an opportunity to love and to build relationships with those people. And one guy, you know, you ask them their names, and their names, one of the guys, he goes, my name's Bone. I'm like, wow, Bone, nice to meet you, Bone. You know, why do they call you Bone, you know? And he looked at me, and he said, you know, my dad first called me that when I was young. When I was 5 or 6 years old, I did something that my dad didn't like, and he called me a bonehead. And then whenever I did something wrong, he always just called me a bonehead. And then my friends heard that, and it went from bonehead to bone. And here this guy is homeless, 60 years old. 60 years old. So he's carried this thing for, what, 55 years, 50-plus years? His identity is in what his earthly father has called him. That he was stupid, that he wasn't good enough, right? And here he is on the streets. And his identity is, my name's Bone. And I looked at him and I said, you know what? I'm never going to call you that again. I said, what's your real name? And he told me his real name. I prayed for him and I asked God to reverse that thing that was spoken over him. And what happens in this James 1, you know, what happens is we can go through these things over and over again. The habitual pattern where we get stuck on our emotions and it's hard for us to believe. Like, for example, my earthly father, I have a great father, but he's just not vocal with, he's told me he's loved me twice, which I'm grateful for. I love that. Just the generation he was brought in. Does he love me? Yes, he loves me. You know, do we have the same love language? No, we don't. You know, I'm very affectionate. I'm very vocal. So I force hug my dad every time I see him. And he does one of those pats, you know, he likes the pats. But you know what? For years, what I did is I was waiting for my dad to come to say, son, I love you. You know what I mean? Can anybody relate to that? You know, saying that because I felt like I've done nothing wrong. But I'm longing for my dad to love me. I'm longing for him to be affectionate to me. I'm longing for him to say that I love you. Okay? But you know what I did? I just waited in that place. I was stuck. And you know what God told me? Forgive him and you go love him. You go love him. And you know what that's happened? What's happened when I've said, okay, I forgive you, Dad, and I've just went on and loved him. Guess what? Now he's being more affectionate to me. He's wanting to hang out with me more. He's coming around. Last week he said he was proud of me. So I'm like, hey, we got something going on here. You know, so the pure joy is that I'm not stuck in my emotions. That my heart can be deceptive. My emotions can be deceptive. But when I have his emotions for the situation, that's pure joy. And that's freedom for me. And we're trying to walk in that as a lifestyle.
Yeah, I think too, You know, when we look at the scripture, you know, kind of the patience and endurance, like, how do we receive that? And the only way to receive that is going through the trials, you know, and we need to look at it as the trial isn't the problem. The problem that we have is we don't know who we are and who God says we are, right? I mean, identity is all over in the New Testament, all over. I mean, it's in the Old Testament too. It's huge. God pushes who we are, but yet we overlook it consistently. I mean, verse 4, that you are perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. So where you're sitting right now, what you're going through right now, you're perfect, you're complete, and you aren't lacking. And if you are lacking and you feel like you are, you can just go to the Father and ask him for it.
Amen.
And you receive in faith, because that's who he is. And it's such a hard thing to wrap our heads around sometimes. And Nels and I both have an I Am poster on our walls in our rooms. And
you could get them at Walmart for $5.88.
$5.88.
Yeah.
Yes. and I look at that thing every night. And I mean, it has, I mean, how many scriptures are on there?
It's like 32.
Yeah, 30-something scriptures of who God says we are. And so I look at that every night. And sometimes, I actually have a picture of it on my phone. And so sometimes during the day, I have to look at it too, because I'm like, oh man, this really sucks. I work with juvenile youth that have been just released from the juvenile system. And so I have a lot of gangsters, they like to call themselves. They're not at all. They're literally sweethearts. But their attitudes are crazy, right? And so it's easy for me to go to work, and immediately I walk in, and I can feel the emotions of everyone. And I'm like, oh, man, this is not going to be a good day. Oh, you know, and I have to go back, and because I can respond one of two ways.
Yeah.
I can respond out of, well, if you guys are going to be angry, I'm going to be angry at you guys. And I'm going to assert my authority, and that's how it's going to be. Or I can approach them from who God says that I am and showing them who God says that they are so they can move past their stuff. And so, again, it comes back to what's your perspective? What is your outlook? Because your outlook will always determine what your outcome is every time without fail. And I think, too, when we look at this, patience and endurance only come through trials. We can't. There's no other way to learn patience. I mean, especially, patience is something that I've had to learn consistently, and I'm still learning to this day. I like things done now. Like, God, do this. Cool. Is it going to happen now? No, okay. 3 years later. Oh, it happened. Sweet. And I know Nels has had things like that in his life where, you know, it's consistent asking God for years, and then it finally comes. And it's in his timing. We have to realize it's not in ours. But that's hard sometimes. We have to realize that, you know, patience and endurance don't come through just reading the Bible, just listening to a sermon, or just praying. Those things come through intimacy with him, intimacy with God, when you're willing to lay everything down at his feet and say, okay, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know where to go. Mm-hmm. When we get rid of our self-sufficiency and we rely on grace.
Yeah, one thing that comes to my mind just reading your guys' banners here. I love your banners. Do you guys like your banners? Did Chris do that? He did that, huh? So I love this because it's about a lifestyle. You guys are saying that you want to live a lifestyle. I mean, you're declaring that through these banners. You know, and what happens, you know, our paradigm from the house of prayer, you know, we're big into Song of Solomon's, you know, how many people like that book? So, you know, a lot of people are like, well, you know, I was in the church I was raised in, they were like, you can't read that till you're 18. You know, I'm like, okay. But really, that's a picture of the bridegroom God and how he loves us, the church, as the bride. He loves us. He has passionate about us. He wants to know us like a husband knows a wife. That is amazing. That is good news. And so one of our paradigms of the house of prayer is the one thing. The one thing paradigm is actually from King David. King David, on Psalms 27:4, do people know that? One thing I ask, one thing I desire, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to inquire on the beauty of God, right? Well, have you guys ever read the verses before that? The verse verses before that are, and I'll paraphrase here just for a second. He sees his enemy coming at him. He hears them, and they are circling around him. Verse 2. Verse 3, there's a full-out war against David. Think about that. And then verse 4, he says, "One thing I ask." So in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the war, he has this, I want to see the beauty of God. Let that sink in just for a second, because God, when you partner with God in that place, he can do anything. He can go through anything. It's powerful. It is the one thing revelation that we call it. The one thing is the one thing. One thing is Jesus. One thing is intimacy, you know. It's the preeminence to him, about him, for him. It's all about him, right? So this James 1 is so pivotal, guys, that we, if we want to demonstrate our mission here, we got to live it in lifestyle. People at work have seen me go through things, and they say, "Man, Nels, how do you, I don't have to preach to them, because my life preaches to them." Amen? Your life should shine with what's going on in the inside, with living a lifestyle out of faith and love that people, it's undeniable. Because what Jesus did when he came to earth was undeniable in a lifestyle. And we get to have that. We get to have that same thing. So
that's good. I love that. I actually tell my youth students, I tell them anytime that, guys, it's a problem if people only know that you're a Christian by your Facebook, you know, or your Instagram or any social media, anything that you have. Because we need to live that out. You know, it's so easy to say, "Well, hey, I have the knowledge." That's great. Good for you. But do you have the wisdom to live it out? See, knowledge says, "I'm going to go ahead and take this apart and examine it." And wisdom says, "I'm going to put it together and live it out and walk it out."
Amen.
And so I think that's important for all of us where we're at right now, is like, are we walking that out? And no, it's not easy. It is not easy at all. But I mean, it goes back to the simple fact of, well, if following Jesus was easy, everyone would be doing it. I mean, it's that simple. It's not easy. Mm-hmm. But it's amazing. Every time.
Yeah, I think too, like, we don't mean to get all worked up. I mean, I know Chris, I know his style too is, Chris has a lot of zeal. And I love that about him. But you know, for us, you know, when we're praying at 12 o'clock at night or rolling into 1 in the morning and you're all by yourself in the prayer room, praying for a city that we would be one as a church, you know, your zeal at 1 o'clock in the morning when you're praying, it goes down just a little bit sometimes. So hear our heart on this. You know, we are passionate about living a lifestyle of abiding with him. You know, it's Psalms 27, the one thing. It's Psalms 91, those who dwell in the shadow of Almighty. It's John 15, you know, him is the vine, right? He is the vine. We get to be a part with him. And so it's the lifestyle of abiding that we get to go through these things like James is talking about. So I hope you hear our heart that we're excited. That when we understand who we are and who he is, God is raising up a generation that's going to be unmovable and unshakable in his love, that's rooted and grounded in his love. That's what's happening. We can say that because, you know, we are working with all the churches. You know, we are just an extension of you guys. You guys are an extension of us. There's only one church in Salem. Amen. That's us.
Yep.
You know, that's our message. Our message at the House of Prayer is, let's come together and pray. Let's you know, there's a need for prayer, and let's just pray his word. And that's how we connect people. And so, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to kind of start to wrap up here with what we have to say. So the worship team, if you guys would like to come back up real quick. So we kind of have four points. And the four points would be, if you're taking notes, these are some good things to write down, would be, number one, to be consider. What's your attitude and what's your response? Number two would be, do you know and do you have an understanding mind? Do you have faith? Number three, a surrendered will. And number four, do you have a heart that wants to believe in God and what he's doing? And so this week, as you guys continue to go through the trials and the things that come up, I want you to look at them and look at it as your trials. Each and every one are a different color of yarn that the weaver is making a rug out of. And you can't see in the middle of the product, it looks bad. It does not look beautiful. But the finished product is gorgeous. It's a masterpiece. And it's amazing. So we're going to go ahead and sing one more song. I'm going to pray for you guys. And then Nels and I will be kind of hanging out. And we would love to pray with you guys and talk to you guys. So Father, we thank you, Lord. God, we thank you that we can just come here and talk about you. God, there are places in the world where even having a Bible or talking about you would instantly get killed. So God, I just thank you for the freedom that you've given us here. God, I pray that as we move today, Lord, we remember what you've spoken today to each and every one of us. God, that our outlook determines our outcome. God, the identity that you released over us, God, I just pray that everyone in this room leaves today knowing who you say they are. So, Papa, we love you. God, we just ask for more of your presence and your love. In Jesus' name.